Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
It's another good day. I continually evolve, which is amazing to me. You know, this week I know more than I knew a week ago. And when I look back 5 years, I notice, holy smokes, my understanding of what I'm actually doing professionally is deepening, widening, broadening. You know, I'm encouraged.
Wonderful. Well, and I think that's all that we really can hope for and expect, is that every day we learn something and we grow and we improve.
Well, what I'm trying to say here is that had you called me 3 years ago, and we have been doing these podcasts 3 years already, I might have given you an answer that would have perhaps less understanding within it, or the depths of understanding would have been not quite so good, or I would have only had a selection of 6 answers instead of 20. You know?
I see.
So, but anyway, what I want to say is this. I now feel like I'm better able to consult with people or serve as a coach than I did back when, mainly because I have talked to so many, you know, these thousands of phone calls that I have been on that have taught me to understand how people think and what is bothering them and how they perceive their reality and how they arrive at the conclusions, you know, and what sort of thing I need to say to them that might help them.
Oh, cool. And you've obviously gotten feedback from them that what you're doing has helped them.
In many occasions, and in some not. And that's really, I think I learned even more from the disasters than from the successes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And, well, here's the interesting. You know, there's an assumption that most people make when they are trying to compare what they're going to do, comparing the natural, holistic, alternative, non-mainstream methods versus what's the mainstream, establishment-supported, government-sanctified, you know, pharmaceutical method would do. And they're making the comparison, and the most common illusion they have is that what they're going to go do with doctors is actually going to work. As opposed to, you know, they're going to try the alternative, but they're going to go do the mainstream.
Right. Big difference.
And, well, yes, in the anticipation and perception. But what's worse is that most of the time they come back. I've had so many people come back to us saying, well, I've tried the mainstream thing and it's an utter disaster. I also have heard, you know, success stories. This is not to be putting everything down. But in general, the strategy of the holistic approach to working with the human body is bound to have a better success rate than the, I call it hunting gophers with hammer, the whack-a-mole game, where you see a symptom and chase that symptom, only to see it disappear, not realizing that it's going to pop out from the next hole somewhere else in just a little while.
Right, right. So we have a cold, and so we take bunch of stuff that we think is going to make the cold better, but really the reason that we were getting the colds all the time is because we've got maybe some toxins that we haven't been able to get rid of that's weakening our immune system.
Right. Well, yeah, it's more than that. It's these at least 5 things that you can, you know, put your hand out and start counting your fingers. The toxicity levels, the metabolic stress, the oxidative stress, the endocrine performance and stress, the general flow of energy, you know.
Right.
And so when you go see a practitioner, they like to specialize. You know, an acupuncturist is going to be really good at dealing with the flow of energy. You know, he'll take your pulses and he'll check for what things are up and what things are down. Under energies, over energies, he'll identify that your lung meridian is weak and that your liver meridian is overstimulated, and that he's going to put a needle over here and a needle over there in his method of restoring the flow.
Right.
And he will do that.
Because the flow of chi or prana or life energy through the body is very important to the health of the body.
Critical. But it's the slowest working, right? It's like when you have a blockage, it takes a long time to create a problem. When you undo the blockage, it takes a long time to return to full health. I mean, you can have a perception of change right away. I mean, there are some you know, like physical pain. You can release physical pain fairly quickly.
Right.
But healing the consequences of it may take a little longer. So that's one avenue. That's dealing just with the flow of things. But that hasn't dealt with your toxicity, if you have it.
Right.
Or that hasn't dealt with your nutritional deficiencies, if you have it. And who doesn't? So,
right.
So you know, we were talking about a fellow who's wondering if he's clinically depressed, right?
Yeah.
So is he or isn't he? Is it a seasonal affective disorder? Is it related to the winter weather? Is it that he's spending too much time indoors, not seeing enough sunshine, and happy skiing, and who knows what else? Right?
Yeah.
Is that the first thing? And then, of course, depression always is set as unexpressed anger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all related to the liver. So when you find yourself depressed, which upsets, regrets, or downright angers have you pushed down that you haven't dealt with? You know, are you angry about something happened in your childhood? Mommy and daddy were not the parents you wanted? Or I don't know, did the girlfriend upset you? Or who knows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what
and
are
I
you
think
angry
we can
about?
All look back in our past and see things that upset us.
Right.
And the question is that at a subconscious level driving us, and has it just festered on the emotional levels?
Right, and if you repress it, if you stuff it under in your emotional body, it ends up in your liver, and it will contribute to an overall inclination toward depression. So, you know, how complex can this get?
What about family or ancestral or even DNA, where things that your parents haven't dealt with in your grandparents haven't dealt with and your great-grandparents haven't dealt with?
I'm sure it plays a role. You know, in some cultures it's expressed as past life, which you're born to solve, and I think there's a physical component to it. You know, like I can see the lineage in my ancestry. You know, my grandfather was a butcher. His job was killing animals and dismembering them and selling the product to the market. My father, his son, was a veterinarian. His job was to heal the animals, just so that they can go to the market.
Just so somebody else can kill them and dismember them.
Right. Now, you know, my story is, you know, I'm doing the healing now, beyond that, right? So, I see the, you know, my having to deal with whether one should be a vegetarian by choice or if eating animals is okay. And under what circumstances? How do we deal with the animals that we're going to eat? You know, and I'm certainly finding myself being quite the crusader against industrial animal husbandry.
Right.
You know, we do eat the odd thing, but I will not buy a farmed salmon, and I will not buy a factory-raised chicken, and I will definitely not eat animals that have been feedlot processed.
Right.
I want to know, and I will not buy that product. It just won't happen.
Well, as you were talking, I was remembering being out at the farm, and my uncles have these farms, and my uncle had some turkeys, and he had some chickens, and he would go out every morning and get the eggs, and every once in a while it would be, you know, we need to have a chicken for dinner, honey, and he would go out with an axe, and these chickens were, you know, kind of wandering around the yard, because, you know, they had coyotes and animals around that would eat them, so, you know, they were fairly protected, but they were basically, you know, out in the open, you know, a little bit of feed, and it was all, he did it all, right? He chopped the head off, he plucked them, he did this, he did that, and we
yeah.
had the chicken, and it was one of, you know, maybe 15 chickens he had on the farm, or 20, you know, so.
Yes.
It was all the results of his labor, as opposed to, you know, a massive farm where they're all, you know, it's a pretty sad story when you see some of the ways these chickens are raised.
Exactly. Yeah, the barn, the chicken barns and all of that, where there's the high intensity, high density, never see sunlight, it's a whole different ballgame. And it also is very different. My wife and I went out for dinner some time ago, you know, maybe a couple of years and whatnot, and ordered it was a Greek restaurant, and we decided to share a chicken souvlaki. And it was spongy, waterlogged chicken breast. You know, I recognized the stuff, and it was industrial produced. This thing was just bad news, you know. Like I just said, we're never going to do this again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people, I mean, I guess we're old enough to have experienced the real thing. You know, if you're only 15 or 20 years old now, you probably could have grown up never knowing what the natural, organic, free-range, whatever thing would taste like.
You know, Martin, I have a great story that kind of illustrates what you're talking about.
Try me.
All my life, I have never liked apricots. My mom would go to the store, she'd bring home some apricots, I'd look at them, I'd try them, they were awful, I hated them, couldn't stand them. Was an awful, terrible fruit. Can't say
yeah.
enough bad things about apricots, right?
Yes.
So 2 years ago, I'm in your neighborhood in the Okanagan, which is known for apple orchards and pear orchards and peach orchards and apricot orchards.
Yes, yes.
So I stop at this fruit stand beside, you know, because a lot of the orchards will have a little fruit stand where they sell fruit to the people
yeah.
passing by.
Yeah, direct to traffic. Yeah.
Direct to traffic, so we stopped in, and my honey's going and picking a few things, and to my shock and horror, and I didn't realize it till we were in the car and she handed me one, was an apricot.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know why I didn't just say I don't like it, but you know, I like to try things, and you know, and I hadn't had one for a long time, so I took a bite. And I have to tell you, it was magnificent. It was absolutely delicious, superb. It set all of my little tongue thingies a tingle with delight. And I realized that I had never eaten a ripe apricot.
Right.
Because they take them all off when they're really green so that they don't get destroyed on the way to market, and they get into the store and they're green. And
yep.
so
yep.
I thought a green apricot was a ripe apricot. And I'd never had one that was pretty much just off the tree or
yes.
whatever it grows on, ripe,
fresh, yes.
fresh, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, this is amazing. So, you know, and I think that's when you talk about the watered-down chicken versus, you know, free-range chicken grown organically and from a healthy chicken that does what a healthy chicken is supposed to do, or same with meat, you know, or meat, beef or turkey or, you know, another good example was, for me, was papayas, because
right.
The papayas I get in the store are about 3 inches long, and the one I get in Hawaii is like a foot and a half long.
Yes,
well, maybe
yeah.
A foot, right?
It's probably a different species too, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, whoa, I mean, this is really good, you know? I mean, and I actually like the papayas I can get in the store, but I mean, they're just no comparison to the papaya that you get that was just grown, you know, a couple miles away somewhere
yeah.
in Hawaii or Mexico.
Yeah, so. Allowed to stay on the tree until ripe.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's really a great point that you make, is that we get used to certain things, we think that's the way it is, and the reality is it's not. It's a
right.
it's our a version that we have created of it that's not necessarily going to be giving us the best bang for our buck or the best benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we're getting into a bit of a sidebar here. I wanted to really bring up this point, is in these years of consulting or coaching, I keep getting the same feeling, which is people don't understand what holistic means.
Mm.
You know, there's a massive difference between strategic and tactical, or difference between the allopathic approach and the holistic approach. You know, one is looking at symptoms, trying to come up with diagnosis, and tweaking the symptoms as quickly as possible. So, you know, if you show up with a depression, they will give you a drug for depression, which is going to try and directly mess with your brain without asking the question, what's causing the physiology to be the way it is. I don't know, I could think of other places, like, say, high blood pressure. They will say, well, is your high blood pressure because of the calcium channel issues? So they'll issue a calcium channel blocker. And we discussed it before. How about if you look at the magnesium deficiency? Those two are the opposite of the same regulatory system. So it could mean that, no, you don't need to block calcium. You just need to increase magnesium.
Mm, right. Because the balance is out of balance.
Right. Or, you know, another possible approach would be is they give you a pill that's essentially going to help you relax. Because you could be stressing too much, and if you're stressing too much, your cortisol level stays too high, and that will cause the blood pressure to rise. So they'll give you something that will be a mix of diazepam with something to essentially to calm you down.
Right.
Without suggesting, well, have you considered going for a walk, and have you considered the meditation? And what is actually the source of the stress in your life? Can we deal with that?
Right.
So, you know, the allopathic pharmaceutical method will just simply try and just, as I said it earlier, hit the gopher directly instead of figuring out, well, what's the cause for gophers here?
Right, and that's sometimes why it can be hit and miss, and they'll try a number of different medications.
Right. Anyway, going back to the premise that people assume that going to an allopathic doctor is going to lead to a success immediately, when in fact that's not the case at all. I mean, I know now through all these stories that people will spend years, decades, chasing something, and that the success eludes them. Now, again, that's not for everybody. You know, there will be somebody who will be on a particular pill for 20 years and have the result they want. We still don't know how it's all going to play out, because eventually they will, the toxicity will catch up with them.
The toxicity in the medication, or the toxicity in, that's causing the problem?
Well, you know, let's just say that you put yourself on a blood pressure medication that is going to be a diuretic, and you know, it's over time it's going to cause your blood to be thicker, and so eventually you will end up with a blood clot, and you will eventually end up with either a heart attack or a stroke. You know, that is the natural ending of that story. And were you not on these diuretics, you probably would not have died that way. You probably would have died of something else.
Right. Because in both cases, you're not dealing with the underlying issues.
Right.
Because you gave us just a really very morbid, unoptimistic or pessimistic view, right? I can take the drug and I can die, or I can not take the drug and I can die.
Well, the trouble is that we all know the destination. We just don't know how it's going to play out.
Or when.
Or when, yes. Or you know, I am certainly hoping that I'm going to do the died at 96 from a surfing accident rather than retired to a nursing home at 75, stayed there until 85, and then lived another 10 years plugged into machines that fed him, breathed him, and while he was deaf and blind.
Right.
You know, like...
Sounds like one of my grandmas.
Okay. Yes, so that's the difference, right? I mean, I know we all will eventually leave this platform, but I would rather do it, you know, lived well until the end and then check out, as opposed to this medical induced extension of life.
Right.
But not living.
Cool. So what we talked a little bit about how people look at the symptoms, they look at like the quick fix, and that's, you know, the drugs are tend to maybe mask the symptoms or look after the symptom, but not really dealing with the underlying issues. So how do we go about taking on the whole problem as opposed to the tip of the iceberg part of the problem that we're aware of?
Right. We always only get the symptoms, right? I mean,
that's where we have to start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm babbling about holistic, and yet I'm going to ask you, and what are your symptoms?
Right.
I will, because that's those are the indicators, and you used the good metaphor of the iceberg. You know, we are only seeing what's above the waterline, but we must always be aware of the fact that 90% of the iceberg is below the waterline, unseen. And that's what people forget. They show up at a doctor's office and they discuss their health issues from the perspective of what's above the waterline. And the doctors treat it as if that's all we needed, you know? Like the doctor, I would imagine that he's going to show up with a laser beam that's going to just cut off the tip of the iceberg. Just slice it off, make it disappear. There's your solution. Well, guess what? Whatever was underwater will just push up another portion of the damn thing.
Right. So oftentimes people think, when just using this watery metaphor we're doing, is that the issue that they've got is a canoe which is floating on the top, and if they can just get rid of that, they'll be fine. But in fact, it's not a canoe, it's the tip of an iceberg. And so you've got all this other stuff that's going on underneath the water that we may not be aware of. And so as a result, we're only dealing with a small part of the problem, and then everybody wonders why other things pop up.
Yes. And so we were talking in these last several podcasts, we've talked about the metabolic typing.
Yes.
And how important that is to understanding one's health. Because if you don't have your metabolic type figured out, and if you're acting against it, you're actually traveling in the wrong direction. So you're not making things better, you're making things worse. And that's why the doctors have to practice, the word practice, as opposed to know what they're doing. They just, you know, try, okay, well, try this, and call me in 2 weeks. And if we only had the understanding of, oh yes, okay, this particular thing will correct your pH balance. So when you correct your pH balance, your fluids start moving, your detoxification systems will kick in, your absorption improves, and so on. So that's why we have pretty much the most common dozen for most every inflammatory disease that people show up with is, you know, we try to reduce it to simplicity, but it's presence of toxins, get rid of that, absence of specific nutrients, make a correction on that, get decent nutrition, you know, you must have something that's broad spectrum nutrition and get it in. These superfoods work, you need them. And, you know, people ask me, well, how long do I need to take this for? And the answer is for however long you want to have a healthy life.
Right. Well, it's like, how long do you need to have breakfast?
Yes.
Right. How long, do I have to have lunch, like, again?
Right. Or do I need to exercise?
Yeah. What do you mean I have to drink something today? Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
so
I don't want to breathe anymore, Martin. How long do I have to keep breathing?
Yeah,
this breathing thing
nonsense.
It's nonsense. I mean, I open my mouth or my nose and stuff goes into this hollow spot in my body and it comes out and I just don't see the point.
Right. It's exactly from the same category that the answer comes to, is how long do I need to do this healthy stuff for? When can I stop?
Yeah, when can I go back to my French fries?
And the answer is as soon as you're ready to return back to your sickness. That's the picture. Anyway, so we have the, you know, get rid of toxins, take on the nutrients. Oftentimes people are in oxidative stress, so we can deal with that using antioxidants type of things. Very frequently they're in metabolic stress. We can deal with that nutritionally. Endocrine stress, that's the most common thing lately. You know, women in menopause and men in andropause, both of them just, you know, hormones all over the place. I mean, erectile dysfunction is the most common problem men have. You know, that's why Viagra has such a wonderful market.
Yeah.
And we get to talk about that probably in our next podcast, by the looks of it. I would like to discuss the andropause and what is it that causes a man to lose his hair and lose his decision potential, you know, like his oomph, his mojo.
His mojo. Yeah, well, that's a good topic because we all want to keep our mojo for as long as possible.
Yes, we like it. And our partners like it. You know, it's... Again, going back, that's why the blue pill is so popular.
That's right.
Anyway, so all of that needs to be addressed. I was talking to a person, a lady, and she's saying, I want a solution, you know? And I don't want to study for days and hours and all of that, the full understanding. And I'm saying, well, but it's not a simple problem. I need to handle all of these things, you know. I need to deal with your energy flow, your metabolism, your endocrine system, your oxidative stress. All of these things have to get handled. If you don't handle them, you will not get better. You will get worse.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We've often use the car metaphor, and it's like you have bald tires and your brakes are worn out and you've got no gas in the engine and you haven't changed the oil in 7 years and you're wondering why your car's not working very well.
Exactly. And you come to me with a phone call, what is the one thing I need to do to get right?
Yeah. Yeah, change the tires so that they're not bald anymore, but the brakes don't work isn't really going to help you stop, is it?
No. So it's not a one thing. The only one thing is that you need to start maintaining the vehicle in a very different manner.
Yeah. And deal with the whole thing, not the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah, if the tip of the iceberg is a crack in the windshield or a steam rising from the radiator, that's...
Not going to work.
Yeah, not good enough.
So, Martin, we've come pretty much to the end of today's episode. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, and we're going to tell everybody that next time we're going to be talking, you know, if you're interested in prostate health, immune support, inflammation, circulation, forgetting about the hair loss, or women's health, we're going to be talking about a specific... Ways to do it. Yeah, that's right. I can't really say, we've got the magic pill because...
No.
Because we've already just talked about the fact that there isn't one. But there are certainly strategies and things that you can do, and we're going to be talking about those specifically. And also something that my dad said about his health as he's been struggling with leukemia for the last 3 years. We're also going to cover a little bit more about, you know, this iceberg type thing and the guessing that goes on in the medical establishment.
Indeed, yes.
I actually think of it as experimentation.
Well, I would say it this way. The best metaphor I know of is the six men in the dark room trying to describe the elephant.
Right.
You know, it's like a wall. No, it's like a fire hose. No, it's like a tree.
It's like a snake.
It's like a snake, yes.
See, it's leafy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big, flat, floppy thing.
Yeah.
No. It's a really firm, round thing. Anyway, the point is, that's what you're doing when you do not understand that you need to deal with the whole organism.
Yep.
Functionally. If you don't practice functional medicine, you're always groping in the dark.
Cool. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to discuss their particular symptoms with you and maybe get on the road to a holistic approach, how should they get a hold of you?
Go read www.life-enthusiast.com and after you've read, call 866-543-3388. We're here from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. most every day.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the world.
Thank you.